Welcome to Telenor, whether you are being present here at Fornebu or following us on the internet or on telephone. My name is Scott Engebrigtsen, and it's my pleasure to guide you through this morning's presentation. We hope that everyone has the material that we have made available, that is our press release, the quarterly report, and the copy of the presentation to be used here any minute. In addition to attend the presentation here at our headquarters, we have a few options available as usual. You may also watch this presentation live or in recording on either the internet or on a mobile phone capable of showing live video. You may also send in your written questions during this transmission if you're using the internet. You'll find instructions on this from our website. There will be a Q&A session directly after the presentation, first here from the audience present, and then from the ones participating on the phone, and finally, of course, the opportunity to do individual interviews. Now let's get down to business and have a look at our third quarter results in more detail. To present the figures today, we have our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Mr. Trond Vevje. I'll leave the floor to Mr. Baksaas.
Thank you, Scott. That was what I was missing. Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this third quarter reporting of the Telenor 2007. Once again, we are delivering solid underlying revenue growth compared to our peers. When including the estimated figures for Kyivstar, the underlying growth is 12%. However, on the top line growth, we experienced some pressure caused by the appreciation of the Norwegian crown in 2007 this far, also from the overall competitive situation in some of our markets. Having said this, third quarter 2007 grows EBITDA by 8% to the record high 9.6 billion Norwegian crowns. Are we high at growth? We are also to a certain extent high on cash to sales, which are 20% in this quarter. Earnings per share has reached 3.02 kroner, but bear in mind that this figure includes 70 euros per share from the sales of Telenor Satellite Services. In this presentation, let me then share with you some views on some of the markets in particular. And I will start with Norway. In Norway, we have had a quarter where we add 42,000 customers net adds, which is a quite significant figure compared to the high penetration in the market. The underlying growth is only 1%, driven by price competition in the marketplace, and the fact that the minister youth hasn't compensated more than that compared to the prices. We do also have a reduction in revenues caused by the fact that Tele2 is moving their customers from the Telenor network to the Netcom network and has started with that of approximately 50 million with an effect of approximately 50 million this quarter. And this effect will, of course, be more visible, and we estimate the figure in fourth quarter to be 100 million Norwegian crowns. Seeing the market development in Norway going forward from here, we also have to expect continued competition with also the need for looking at the cost structures in this part of our activities from here onwards. We're also in the midst of an interconnect adjustment in this country for the time being. There is a case between NetCom and the authorities in that respect. From a Telenor perspective, we are happy that we finally can see more level conditions in the interconnect between the two main players, even though we regret that that question is not clarified when it comes to Tele2 at this stage. The fact that the interconnect cost then will be reduced in the years to come is the fact that we are, as you know, having had a very big disadvantage in the interconnect rate between Telenor and NetCom. And that's why we are stating that reduced interconnect costs will be effective from October 1st. I also have to mention that we will launch high-speed internet HSDPA in Norway. There will be a press conference later today, and there will be services offered in specific areas as from 1st November this year. If we then have a look at the fixed line operation in Norway, we now see a lower decrease in revenues in second half of 2007 compared to the first half. In the beginning of the year, we saw a reduction in revenues in the range 4 to 5%, whereas in this quarter we record 1.5% revenue reduction. We also see that the broadband revenue additionals now is not fully compensating for the POPs reduction, but the difference isn't that big anymore. This is, of course, the prices are better aligned the way we see it in this time of the market. And the wholesale revenues are, of course, also picking up to a certain extent. We do foresee, though, that there will be still a reduction in revenue because of the migration, both to fixed to mobile, as well as to as well as that the number of POPs lines will still be reduced. But on the other hand, we see this climate being better, more in the range of 2 to 3% than in the 4 to 5% as we started the year with. So the figures for fixed Norway seem quite strong the way we see it. The market trends are not very much different from before. We have a 38% EBITDA margin in the fixed line operation due to our ability to reduce costs and the cost program that we launched to be finalized at the end of 2007 is more or less completed. But that doesn't take away the ambitions that there will still be cost measures to be addressed in the fixed line value chain in Norway also going forward. But we also have a pretty good market statistics along with these financial figures this year, 2007 compared to 2006. So we do believe that we are not in the situation that we were last year, having a big cost overrun in fourth quarter in 2006. This is also why we are maintaining our mid to long term cash flow ambitions in the Nordic market of 10 billion Norwegian crowns. We see that the fixed line operations in the Nordics are contributing in the good direction in this target. But there has to be a lot of work to be done both in Norway, Sweden and Denmark on the cost side before we can say that we have reached this stretch target in the mid-term, long-term picture. I shall then move over to some of the international markets that are experiencing some challenges in these days, and I will start with Bangladesh. The reported revenue growth here is only 3% in Norwegian crowns, but in local currency, the growth factor is 15%. The adjusted EBITDA margin in the operation is 48% when we adjust for the regulatory a compensation charge that was introduced by the authorities previously this year and concluded in third quarter. We also see that from 1st October, the interconnect charges will be reduced from 66 taka per minute to 40 minutes per taka, which is quite a significant reduction, which also will have consequences in operation in that market in the next quarter. It starts from 1st of October. There is then quite some challenges in the Bangladeshi economy in these days, and it's also a very keen competition between the operators. But it's also quite clear that Grameenphone, having the very strong position both in network distribution, network quality, and sales and marketing distribution, is holding their market share quite good, around 60%, and running the operation underlying at a 48% EBITDA margin. But the operation also requires a lot of capex, as you can see, in order to keep track with the traffic increases due to the competitive surroundings. It's also worth mentioning that in the fourth quarter, there is a mandatory registration of all subscribers in Bangladesh to take place, which means that in the case of Grameenphone, we have approximately 15 million subscribers, and five of these are still remaining unregistered as of today. And there is quite some work in order to do that registration for Grameenphone. Moving to Thailand. Thailand is a market which is has been very exciting this year, getting an interconnect regime in place, and caused by that, seeing more normalized competitive measures between the different operators. We're optimistic about the growth in Thailand. There is a low underlying growth element here when you measure it in Norwegian crown. However, on the customer side, we have been able to add 400,000 customers in this quarter, reaching almost 15 million customers. And the underlying revenue growth is then 5%. And the underlying EBITDA margin is 30%. We are also seeing quite promising underlying possibilities to raise the underlying price per minute in the new tariff plans that we are launching in the marketplace in UK. And I also have to mention that DTAC yesterday rebranded into the Telenor graphical presentation. And of course, we hope to get some good market effects out of that, as we've had in the other markets that we have rebranded. The Telenor logo is now present in countries with as much as 360 plus million people. If I then move to Kyivstar in Ukraine, we estimate that the Kyivstar has done a very, very strong performance in the third quarter 2007. We believe the company has passed 23 million subscriptions. We see a revenue growth of 23%, and there is an ARPU incremental of approximately 10% in local currency compared to Q2. We are able to estimate these figures because of our knowledge of the market from in-depth over many years. And we see that Kyivstar has been able to build market share, in fact, in this period. We're very happy that the management seems to be unaffected of the ongoing shareholder conflict with outside industries. And to comment upon that decision immediately, the U.S. arbitration results that we reached this summer is a very solid platform for Telenor going forward in this conflict. We have an undisputed majority position of 66.5% in the company. And from this space and from the shareholding agreement, it was very, very clearly stated from the arbitration court the action that Alfa had to amend in order to go forward in the partnership around the company. We then, quite to a certain extent, surprised by the fact that our partner sees in the objective the arbitration court decisions taken in New York. But we will, of course, work in order to enforce this platform even further in this relationship with Alfa around Ekisa. For the remainder of the company, I shall be very brief. In Hungary, we see quite a stable competitive situation. Low growth, but fairly high margin and good cash flow production. Serbia and Montenegro doing what they are supposed to do according to our plans and local market conditions. The growth in Pakistan still continues, despite the fact that we see a slight reduction in ARPU. The competitive situation of Telenor in Pakistan is very strong, and we're building market share, believing that we have reached a number two position. And then to Malaysia, being as solid as ever, seeing Ottoman and his team in Digi performing very, very well on both revenue growth and margin, as well as market share. So we're very proud of Digi performance. We're also then concluding the necessary process to reduce our stake according to the government's decision to 49% within the end of the year. And that process is ongoing. Before then handing over to Tom Wesley, I also want to give a comment on broadcast. Broadcast has also this quarter proved a strong development with a 12% reported revenue growth in figures. And it's very good to note that when Sigurd Sivertsen today had his last CEO appearance in the business area, he can be proud of the fact that he has built a solid market position for Telenor in this market space in the Nordic countries, leaving good figures behind. So we want to thank Sigurd for his performance over the years for Telenor in this field. So John, the floor is yours.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. So before I get into the very details of this quarter, I would like to give you an overview of the development during the year. And the element of that is due to the fact that we now see fairly substantial currency changes relative to the Norwegian kroner. So on this slide, you see that the revenue growth on recorded in blue in the first quarter was 5%, same in the second quarter, and now we're recording a negative revenue growth of 1%. But if you take into consideration the currency levels and take out the currency levels, what we do when we actually do the underlying calculation growth is excluding that currency effect and make a proxy of the operating entity's development. So basically, it's the development in each local currency. And as you can see, the revenue growth in first quarter is 11%, second quarter 12%, and third quarter is 11%. And if we include Kyivstar into that equation, we have a growth of 14%, 13%, and 12%. So all in all, the revenue growth underneath the organic revenue growth in each country is still good, but as Fredrik mentioned, we see starting to see higher pressure on in some of the markets, but relative to the reported figures, most of it comes from the currency effect. Then going to the EBITDA, we see an EBITDA increase of 8% during the quarter. But looking at the graph to the right, you see that comparing to the third quarter of 2006, that was a tremendously good figure number for Telenor. But if you look at the sequence of numbers during the quarter, you see that we actually delivered this quarter a record high EBITDA of 9.6 billion Norwegian kroners, including the Q-Star numbers. That is a good development and a nominal good increase relative to the pressure in Norwegian kroner as we see. To the graph to the left, you see the development as usual, and in that sequence, it's one element that is acquired growth in there, and that's basically two-thirds of what you can see of Serbia with its 176 delta EBITDA growth in the quarter. Taking the element from our of the 9.6 to the reported EBITDA of 7.6, the difference is the 1.9 billion EBITDA from Kyivstar. But in that element of underlying EBITDA and reported EBITDA, there are some specifics. This is basically for the detailed analyst report that's sitting together with us today. So the other items in this is basically two elements. It's the loss of onerous contract in DTAC and the gain in leasing, netting 180 million. And the non-recurring items, it's a variety of elements between 20 and 35 million, 20 and 35 million kroners approximately, plus the compensation of 146 million paid in Grameen Fund, totaling 52. That leaves us an underlying EBITDA of 7.5 billion Norwegian kroners. Then looking at the reported P&L figures, revenue this quarter is 23.1 billion Norwegian kroners. Earnings before interest and tax is 4.2 billion. Associated company runs up to approximately 1 billion. 900 of those is coming from Wintercom. Net financial is only net of interest rates this quarter, plus some minor elements of translations and valuations of market-to-market values, leaves us a profit before tax on 4.7 billion. Taxes this quarter is lower due to some settlements of some old tax discussions and some transactions that is non-taxable. So we have a new estimate for 2007 tax rate, and it's going to be approximately between 23% and 24% for the year. Then the difference, as you can see, having 4.7 before tax and taxes of 1.1 does not add up to the 4.4, and the difference is the gain of Telenor Satellite Services as we report of a discontinued operation, and therefore it's gain here of almost 1.3 billion, and that adds up to the net income of 4.4 billion Norwegian kroners, giving us an earnings per share of 2.65 reported, EPS adjusted and including Kyivstar, we're probably 2.16 kroner. On the development side of net debt, starting this quarter with a net debt of 46.4 billion, capex spending of 4.8, interest and taxes are 1.3. Acquisitions in Denmark are 800 million. The sale of TSS coming in was 2.4 billion. Then you have some dividends from Lentacom of 600. And then we have accruals and foreign exchange changes, which is not cash flow driven. It's basically the accruals, but most of that is reevaluation of debt that goes to equity. And an EBITDA, as you've seen, of 7.77 billion, leaving us at a net debt position of 40 billion Norwegian kroner. Then looking at the negative forex development relating to Norwegian kroner the last quarter. The table you see here, on the left, you have the average change from second quarter and changes relative from end second quarter to the average during third quarter. These are, of course, affecting us during the third quarter. The column to the right is the end relative, the currencies at the end of the third quarter relative to the end of the second quarter. And this currency change also affects our guidance for the fourth quarter. We're using the end third quarter numbers as a proxy for the fourth quarter, meaning that we use the second column, or the right column here, as a proxy for our fourth quarter numbers. That led us to the need of adjusting the outlook. And the element of that is that the effects of the third quarter currency has almost an effect of 1% of the annual revenue effect of Telenor, meaning that it has more than a 4% effect of just the fourth quarter. So in that sense, the outlook of the reported figures for the year have been slightly adjusted, and they're changing the outlook to that we have a revenue outlook of around 1%. That is mostly due to the currencies, but also on the underlying revenue growth, specifically in Thailand, as you see. Then we have also adjusted the EBITDA margin to above 31%. That's a slight adjustment, but it's more precise, as we see, relative to the situation in the fourth quarter. CapEx to sales ratio around 20% stays the same. And that concludes my part of the presentation.
Thank you, Tom. We're now ready to take your questions, and before stating your question, please be so kind to introduce yourself and also wait for a microphone to be sent in. Are there any questions from the audience here? Yes, we have the letter here.
Bjørn Nesse Television. You're obviously quite severely hit by the currency changes, and the Norwegian kroner is even stronger today than it was at the end of the third quarter. Is it an option for you to report your results in another currency than the Norwegian one?
Technically, yes, it would be possible. Whether or not that would really change the sort of fluctuation relative to the currencies, we're involved in about 12 different currencies with different angles, and they don't work in parallel, any of them. In addition to the graph I showed you, we also have US dollars and euros relative to the acquisition that we do for many of our CapEx programs. So gentlemen, that fluctuation will change for a company like Telenor, which is so widely distributed all around the world.
Any more questions from the audience? Have a question here, please.
Hi, this is Orbis from Carnegie. I have two questions. First and foremost, domestic mobile. Based on the present situation, your outlook for Q4, how do you see your general outlook statement concerning 08 based on the present state of affairs here in Norway? And second question relates to, obviously, the Russian situation. We have a deadline from the arbitration court in New York. We've had some comments from your Russian partner. Is there any movement lately that you should comment on? Is there any change in the situation between you two?
And then start on the outlook for the Norwegian domestic mobile market. As we had in our presentation here, the growth factor for mobility in Norway is 1% approximately in our figures. Pretty good, pretty acceptable competitive situation when it comes to the market shares. But the transition of the wholesale agreement from Telenor to NetCom and presumably moving further into a separate network in a couple of years' time from NetCom will of course have an impact on the long-term structure of this market. We don't give any guidance on 208 at this point in time, but we do point to the fact that there is a 1% revenue growth over the end of this reporting quarter, and the fact that there will be some negative effects of some further migration of Telenor 2 customers to from the Telenor network to the NetCom network in fourth quarter, being to a certain extent compensated by a better termination regime from our perspective. And then, of course, it's up to us to compete with those customers that have preferred the Telenor coverage, the Telenor coverage quality in Norway, being the Telenor customers, which we can readily compete for, maintaining as the Telenor customers when they are being switched to another underlying network. As for the Russian relationship and challenges, there is no nothing much more to report basically than the fact that we surprisingly received another local court decision a couple of days ago in Kiev or in Ukraine. We're surprised that that one was brought forward as as a very obvious negative attitude towards the international arbitration ruling that was launched in our favor mid-summer. But there is nothing new to report from that respect. However, from our perspective, we know that the institution having ruled so clearly upon this case has a very long-term significant impact. The way we see it, positive for us, and leading to a situation where we should see a possibility of a negotiating solution. But that remains to be seen, and in the meantime, we are solidly working at building an even more robust foundation under that ruling. And there are certain steps that we have to follow in that respect.
Any more questions from the audience? Doesn't look like it. So I then call upon the call conference host to introduce the first question from the telephone.
The first question is from Mr. Rivet in the company CITI. Please.
It's James Rivet from Citi. I've got three questions if I can. The first is on Digi. Can you tell us about how the sell-down process is going to work? Should we expect you to sell to the market, or is there still the possibility of a merger with another player? And also, is it possible that with a 49% stake, you'll be able to keep control and consolidate that asset? Secondly, in terms of Bangladesh, when should we expect to see a recovery? Is there anything in that market that's suggesting that the pricing declines are getting easier than they were maybe 3 months ago? And finally, on the share buyback program, what is stopping you from buying back stock? Your stock has been a relatively poor performer in a sector context. The valuation is inexpensive. What is stopping you from actually doing that at this process? Thank you very much.
As to your first question, Digi, the method that we will use in order to achieve the 49% holding, I cannot be 100% clear on that. However, it will be natural that the market will be used, of course. Then, when it comes to consolidation, this will be done in such a way that we will maintain our consolidation and the industrial and strategic ambitions in Malaysia as before. In Bangladesh, seeing the lower interconnect regime being introduced on 1st of October, unfortunately, that has to work a bit before we can say what kind of price effects this will have. So I don't anticipate that the fourth quarter will bring very much improvement, unfortunately. But the longer term picture is that the growth dimension seen from the customer's perspective will continue and to a certain extent revive moving into 2008. And Grameenphone being this important player, seeing and having this prominent and very strong position, of course, will participate in that competition. The unfortunate fact is that we are no longer running at 60% market share and 60% margin. We have seen that competitive situation will change. Still, the operation is running at 48% EBITDA margin, which is a very strong figure. As for share buybacks, you may comment on that, please.
Well, as we earlier said, we previously in the second quarter, we had the same question, and we said that it was on hold. Development during the quarter has led to a decrease of debt due to both good revenue streams as well as sales. So we are basically changing our position because seeing that we are looking at it. Whether we're going to reignite it or not, we have not yet decided.
Thank you very much.
Next question is from Mr. Peter Nielsen in Chevrolet, please.
Yes, thanks very much. First, a question on the domestic and Norwegian frictional basis. But obviously, as you mentioned, sir, you've seen a strong margin developments in a few quarters now. Obviously, my question is this sort of sustainable going forward? Considering, I know we shouldn't sort of extrapolate from seasonal factors, but we previously discussed the margin around 35%. Do you feel perhaps even more optimistic now when you're looking at the domestic fixed business? And secondly, just a question on the mobile business in Norway. Are you seeing any new positive trends in terms of data uptake for the 3G in your, among your Norwegian mobile subscribers? Thank you.
The 38% compared to last year is also 38% reported for fixed line, but with the 36% underlying because there was some positive one-off in 2006, third quarter 2006, is sort of achieved because all our people and management working in the fixed line operations have been very, very successful in bringing forward another level of I should say, service level and service efficiency over the last year. Last year, in towards the end of 2006, we really had some problems in getting service level at an acceptable level versus the marketplace. This is much better in 2007. The longer term figure here of around 35% is a good sort of
approach a sort of a longer term picture, because there will be revenue reductions also into the future. There will be new technologies to be implemented. So we have not raised the bar, basically, but we are acknowledging the fact that we have been able to maintain and work at the cost structure with this kind of effect in 2007. As for the mobile 3G, I think there has to be sort of a right picture on that, moving forward in the traffic volume coming from data usage. There might be sort of a new picture here when then high-speed internet is being introduced, because that is really a level of improvement, you could say. But yes, we're seeing a trending upward kind of usage pattern among our customers.
Thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Ray in Dresden, please.
Good morning. I have two questions. One is, with regards to the ownership situation in Thailand, could you just sort of update or reconfirm what you said at Q2 about that? And the second question I have is regarding the underlying growth rate and the trends you're seeing there. Is there anything, any reason to believe from your point of view that the underlying growth rate that you are observing in the current quarter, which obviously has ticked down slightly through the year, will continue to tick down, or do you sort of feel comfortable with the business developments that you're seeing now that this is about the level that is, you know, give and take, sustainable? Thank you.
Well, to the Thai ownership comment that we have in the second quarter, there's no change in that comment. So basically, that's a confirmation on what we said then. We are having 65% ownership stake in DTAC. The legal structure around that, we're comfortably that complies with the local regulations and law. And we're still at the point that if there are any changes in those local laws in Thailand, we will of course abide by them. Coming to the underlying trend, there has been a slight pressure on that trend during the third quarter, as we said. Whether we see any significant changes, it's difficult to predict, but the pressure is there, so we see that the level of growth might be under some pressure. How quick that pressure comes is really a matter of how each market actually evolves into sort of more maturity level. I don't think that we would like to give you any more clear indication on that question right now. We have to come back to that when we do the outlook for 2008, when we get back to the fourth quarter.
Thank you.
Next from Mr. Arch in Société Générale, please.
Yes, good morning. Just one question on the domestic mobile. I think during the Capital Markets Day, you implied that the revenue growth will be flat for 2008 and that you will have EBITDA margin for 2008 again at 38%. Do you still agree with this comment you've made back in May, or is there any change after this future results?
We now see a more intensive competitive situation in the market after the transition of the Tele2 wholesale agreement. The revenue side is there. We have not given any guidance on the 2008 figures, so I don't want to be more precise on 2008 in that picture than what we have already seen.
Okay, thank you.
Next is the bank further route in Handelsbanken, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just curious regarding Sweden and Denmark, is it fair to interpret your comment there that you are dissatisfied with the cost development in these two markets? And then if I may, also on the Al-Sakir conflict there, are you more optimistic today than you've been previously regarding this process? Thank you.
Thank you.
In Sweden and Denmark, we are quite satisfied with the market performance of the two operations in the two countries. However, in some parts of these operations, there has to be the call structures and the efficiency has to be addressed when we move forward to 2008 on certain parts of the functions and processes. So there will be management attention to that part in the 2008 perspective. As for the sort of if we are more confident or less confident, we're confident around the fact that after the release of the arbitration ruling in New York, we have achieved fundamental international recognition in important institutions around the validity of the shareholding agreement in Kyivstar. And that gives us confidence that there is a platform upon which we can work a long-term approach at resolving the issue. Even though, of course, we would hope also that our partners would be looking at these arbitration results and the consequences from such decisions in other cases, leading them to having a different approach to the issue at hand. In the meantime, we are very happy that Kyivstar is doing well, handling the competitive situation to their favor, and also moving into a period where they are improving their cash flow quite considerably, as we see just happening this year.
If I may follow up?
Please go ahead.
Yes, I wonder, would it have any bearing if we see a resolution on the megaphone conflict between Alfa, Timo, and IPOC, something like that? Would it have any bearing on the conflict in Kyivstar and the conflict with Alfa in the Vimpecom there?
Well, that's only a speculation that we can do. Whether this or that will happen, I think you have to sort of dial another number to get that answer clarified. But of course, we can speculate that an event at another arena that may have spillover effect into this arena.
Thank you very much.
Next question is from Mr. Stephen Malcolm in Ores Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi there guys. Three questions please. First, I apologize for the first one. I joined the call slightly late and you may have explained it in more depth than I realized. But the tax rate, am I right in saying you said the tax rate for 08 is going to be 23-24%? If that's the case, can you sort of give us a midterm outlook on the tax rate, you know, how it trends back towards the sort of 30% statutory rate and whether that feeds straight through to cash taxes as well? Second is a follow-up to James' question on the buyback, just the dividend policy, whether you think that's worth reviewing. Your growth is slowing, so your dividend yield is way below your peers, whether you think that might be something that you could address. And finally, just on Vietnam, whether you can update us on, you know, what your thoughts on the situation in that market are, and lots of operators still are trying to get very close to the Vietnamese government. That would be very helpful. Thanks a lot.
The tax rate, yes. The new estimate on the yearly tax rate is 23-24. No, it does not have a bearing on the starting point of around 28, the third level. No, remember the actual number. That is, the changes are due to non-taxable transactions and also old discussions that have been resolved during the year that really have no tax effect during the course of the year, and thereby the estimate of this year's tax rate goes down. Going to the cash impact on that change, on an ongoing basis, no, that has no implication on ongoing tax payments as such, even though I must say, though, there are quite some differences, both up and down, relative to the accounting cost of tax and the payment of.
Okay, so we shouldn't change our sort of midterm cash forecast. We should keep them.
We are, of course, upholding our dividend policy relative to the history. We are, as I said, looking smile at the buyback possibility, and it's not necessarily on hold, but we are evaluating the positions, and we have not taken any decisions yet.
Okay, so does that decision go hand in hand with the dividend policy, or is the dividend policy fixed in your mind?
I'm sorry?
Does the buyback and dividend decision sort of go hand in hand, or do we just assume the dividend policy is fixed and it's the buyback you're looking at more than the dividend?
The dividend policy is fixed, and we use the buyback more as a flexible situation relative to the gearing level and the financial policy as we see it at any point in time.
Okay, thanks.
And the change here, of course, is the fact that the underlying growth financing of Telenor growth the cash flow, as you can see on one of the charts that we have on this presentation. But if I then may add a comment on Vietnam, our expansion possibilities in Asia are being worked at. The environment, so to speak, is competitive, extremely competitive, and a number of parameters have to be sort of met before there is a reasonable opportunity to strike a possible entry. We see, though, that the Vietnamese authorities are having the same comments as to their ambition, but they have, as far as we know, not made sort of any visible process and confirmed any process as to how they will approach the sort of final part of it, as to whether they will allow foreign participation or not. We saw there a couple of months ago when the Vietnamese Prime Minister visited Russia, that there was signed a Minister of Understanding relating to the possibility of Vietnam doing an approach into Vietnam, and that could can be seen as a true wish of getting international players into the market. However, underneath that possibility, there is a significant work to be done on refarming and frequency. So it's not for the pre-cut operation, unfortunately. But it remains to be seen how it will be made operational.
Okay, I mean, have you any idea when you think you'll get some more visibility on the process, or is it just...
Well, what has been said on that score is that a process is anticipated to be made visible towards the end of this year with a possible action plan reaching into 2008. That is sort of our present knowledge on that.
Okay, thanks very much.
Our ability and our interest for a market like Vietnam and other markets in Asia is for sure there. And with the prominent position that Taiwan has taken in the four countries where you operate, we have a record and a visibility and a story to tell, which makes us interesting. But as you also know, there are many and also additional parameters that any partner might evaluate before making a deal. We saw that when the Arabs tried to deal with Maxis moving to Indonesia.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Next, Mr. Mandeep Singh in Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks. My question was already asked.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Jean-Pierre in Dresden, please.
Hi, Jean-Pierre speaking from Dresden Credit Research. A couple of questions, if I could. Firstly, you've made it very clear indeed that foreign exchange shifts have had a big impact on the comparable between Q307 and Q306. Do you have a single takeaway number for the impact that that's had on EBITDA? I'm very interested in getting an underlying EBITDA growth, excluding M&A and excluding the impact of Forex. Secondly, and perhaps more importantly, in the past you've expressed the aim of returning to single A credit ratings. You don't seem to be in overly much of a rush to do so, so perhaps you could talk a little bit about any steps you are taking in order to move back towards single A ratings, particularly in the context of maybe possibly increased dividends or share buybacks. Thank you.
Relative to the forex effect on the EBITDA, it basically has no, it of course has a nominal effect, but the element of the margin, no, not materially. It's sort of fractions here and there, but the EBITDA effect continuously stays around everything from 30% level to 34% level relative to these different quarters. So basically it's no fixed thing, but relative to the top line effect of the Forex and the sort of the margin effect, no, you won't see any significant changes on the running EBITDA margin. Going to the second question of the of our financial policy of becoming or being a single A rated company in the long run. No, we're not in an overly rush, that's true. But then again, we're on steady course, and we're looking at that, of course, relative to the evaluation of the yield to the shareholders. So it's always a trade between how far you're going to reach your financial targets and strategy targets relative to make sure that you have the yield to the shareholders that is necessary relative to the development of the company. And as Frederick said, we are also evaluating the growth factor in Telenor, both the acquired growth as well as the underlying growth in that comparison as well. So we actually think that we are maintaining our position of becoming a single A company, but in that time we have to make due consideration to all our stakeholders relative to the effect of that.
Okay, thank you. Next, Mr. Bluestone, Merrill Lynch.
Well, hi there, Jacob Bluestone from Merrill Lynch. I had a question, I mean, at a slightly general level. You also have quite a wide range of mobile assets, and at what point do you start to look at exiting some of these assets? Is it when growth matures, or is your plan to more or less be in all the businesses that you're in right now?
The sort of exit question on this, we see that the longer-term ambition of Telenor to become an industrial player over a, vast geography has been proven over the years, and the way we execute across the operations is giving us synergies and operational effects that are positive for each and every operation. So exit in this respect is more sort of a question if there are adjustments between ourselves and other operators in the longer term picture that can prove positive effects in both camps, basically. So, and apart from that, we have been running the control exit strategy over a number of years. And there you have seen both additions and exits being executed on our part.
Thanks.
Mr. Jimian, company CIBM, please go ahead.
Hi, this is an analyst, but could you just, going back to Bangladesh, could you just provide me with maybe slightly more clarity on how you view the competitive environment there, especially in light of the political uncertainties, as well as the various regulatory requirements currently? How do you see margins? So, you know, where do you see your market share going and so on? Any guidance on revenues for 07 or 08? Thanks a lot.
That was sort of a very wide question. And we will not sort of give specific comments on 208 as such, but the general feeling is that the number of players in the Bangladeshi market longer term, there will probably be sort of some events on the consolidation possibilities in that market. Because a six-player market, the way it stands for the time being, may be a tough one for the smaller operators longer term, the way we see it. But since the regulatory regime around the mobile industry in the country has not been sort of reached not necessarily a permanent, but there are some events that have to happen, and one of them is that the interconnect level sets itself in the marketplace, which in a way becomes a platform upon which prices can be established in the same way as what's happening in Thailand earlier this year. So we believe that the longer term possibilities in Bangladesh is good, but on the other hand, the uncertainty around the transition back to democracy, of course, is an underlying situation that we have to recognize. I really hope that the country managed to take those steps, because the longer term picture is that the economic development would benefit from such a transition.
Thanks, and do you expect to maintain your market share then? Around 60%?
Or a 60% market share, the way we've had it longer term in a six-player market, is a very strong ambition. So we will balance the market share up against the margin as well as the requirement for CapEx to keep along with the traffic growth. But the general comment for Telenor is that we never easily let go market share position. So we will compete for with you balance given to the margin development.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Lomitekta, the company New Street Research.
Oh yes, Sumitash with New Street Research. Just one question please on the margin guidance for this year. If the currency had no effect sort of materially on the margin, and given DTAC actually increased its margin guidance yesterday, is it at all possible to try and highlight maybe two or three key businesses where you've actually lowered your guidance? Thanks very much.
As I said, it was more a marginal sort of change relative to, as a result of development during the year, the around 32 level, even though it means up and down, we were short on that, the 32 dot level, but the element is that the flexibility and the understanding below the 32 were coming into such a layer that we felt comfortable in saying that. So, no, I don't think I can give you sort of one or two or three elements that really is doing that. Yes, we see a challenge in Norway, as you've seen. We do see a challenge in Grameenphone. But elements like that, it's fairly obvious from our numbers who's more challenging relative to the development or not. But it's not any specific companies or any three companies that basically does that equation. But the negative effect of the marginal effect, as I told you relative to earlier, but it has an effect. If you take Q2 numbers, you know, Q2 effects, or end Q2 currencies, and look at the average currency in Q3, it has a 60 million Norwegian kroner effect on the EBITDA, and it counts for some points after the comma. So the elements is those factors that really adds into our revised or slightly revised guiding on the margin.
Okay, thank you. Can I ask just a very quick follow-up, and I'm not sure if you mentioned this. Can you confirm what the NOK dollar rate is you're using for the full year guidance?
It's not in the top of my head, so you have to call IR in that regard. So I must say, though, US dollar rate is not one of our translating currencies. The only effect US dollar have on our numbers is basically in the finance section and recalculating some of our debt. So basically, operationally wise, we're not in any dollar currency.
Okay, thanks.
I think we'll have one more question from the telephone.
Thank you. Peter Spinnens with you again. Just two follow-up questions. Firstly, on the Danish business, the acquisition of Tele2, I don't believe you've ever indicated what kind of synergies you would expect to achieve. Is there something you could perhaps elaborate a bit on? And my second question would be Pakistan, where you've obviously seen very rapid margin expansion. Where do you think margins in Pakistan could go? Thank you.
Please repeat, where do you think?
Yeah, where do you think margins in Pakistan could go? You've shown very strong margin
expansion. The market.
Margins in Pakistan,
sorry. Or margins. Sorry. Synergies in Denmark will come from the fact that the quality of activities will choose to stick in the Danish market. And it will of course come from the fact that we're building the size of the customer position. And that takes us into even stronger, we hope, distribution position into the marketplace. So this is a volume addition, a scale addition to what we already have. Then in Pakistan, we were very happy to see that Tore Johnsen and his team is able to work, and I should sometimes say in a difficult situation. Unfortunately, very unfortunate events that we had when returned to the country. And of course, events like that have an impact on people in general. But having seen the pickup rate in Pakistan for mobile services over the last year, I think the penetration and what we said in capital marketplace is still relevant for that marketplace. So as to which level the margin can move, I won't be very specific on that, but from the existing level, I think we will see an improvement. Let me limit myself to say that.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, and that also concludes the Q&A session, and thank you all for joining us this morning.